Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. In the midst of the fall holy days, we begin reflecting more and more on the kingdom of God and the removal of Satan from the position of evil influence that terrorizes the entire world. Every evil that we see today is of Satan the devil and the deceptions brought upon humanity. Satan seeks our destruction and will stop at nothing to alienate us from God the Father and Jesus Christ. If bringing us to our physical death were sufficient for Satan to claim victory, Satan would outlast us until the point of our death and win. Satan needs more than our physical death to claim victory. Satan needs our spiritual death. Every battle we face may on the surface seem like a battle here on earth. Behind every battle we face is a spiritual component that Satan very much wants to result in our spiritual death. Satan is the original terrorist who introduced evil through the rebellion against God, drawing one-third of the angels to the dark side. When Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden and shown of all the trees of the garden from which they could eat, including the tree of life, they were also shown the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from which they were not to eat. When Satan confronted Eve and tricked her, Satan did not tell her to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve made that choice for herself by considering the deceitful words of the serpent. When many people think of terrorism, especially on today's date of September 11th, many think of the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center, Pentagon, and what was believed to be a planned attack on either the White House or U.S. Capitol building. My introduction to terrorism goes back well before that fateful day of 2001, in May of 1972, when the Baader-Meinhof gang planted bombs that exploded at the U.S. Army headquarters in Heidelberg, Germany. At the time, my family was living in the military housing area near Heidelberg. In first grade at the time, I remember that one fire drill that caused us to walk to the extreme side of the playground, well away from the American elementary school I attended. Instead of going back inside the building after a few minutes as was customary, we waited and waited and waited, and then parents started showing up. At a military housing installation in the early 1970s, the parents who showed up were mostly mothers, and the first mothers who showed up had a look in their eye that I cannot forget. They had the look of terror in their eyes, and on that day, I learned what terrorism was about. Terrorism is not about any act of violence. Terrorism is about inciting fear and terror in people to achieve an objective. Satan planted that first seed of terror with Eve, doubt in God, by indirectly alleging that not only was God lying to her, God was selfish and wanted to keep the unique gifts without sharing. Doubt is the seed that, if allowed to grow in our mind, will disconnect us from the faith we have. Satan is a terrorist not because of what Satan seeks to do to us. Satan is a terrorist because of the desire to incite fear and terror in the people of God so that we spiritually die. We are warned in the Bible to not allow Satan to do this and advised to be vigilant, knowing that Satan seeks the objective of our spiritual death and destruction. We are also advised to resist Satan through faith. Resist is an interesting choice of words by Peter. We are not told we will avoid Satan by being steadfast in the faith. Instead, we are told to resist Satan. The implication of what Peter is writing is that we will not avoid Satan in our spiritual life, but we can overcome Satan through faith. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In Revelation, we are given the scene of a war in heaven between the forces of evil, Satan and the demons, and the forces of good, the angels of God and Jesus Christ. How the faithful overcome Satan is told in a three-step process. That three-step process is useful regardless of the timing of the events of Revelation or when we live. From Revelation, we know Satan is our accuser before God. Whenever we do anything that Satan thinks can bring us to spiritual damnation, Satan will be before God making an accusation. Then we are shown how we overcome Satan and the accusations brought against us. We overcome first by the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins so that we can have eternal life. We then also overcome Satan by the word of our testimony, the knowledge we have of our calling and the faith we have, especially as we can defend the faith and explain it to others. Third, we overcome Satan by knowing our spiritual existence transcends everything we see in this physical world. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. During his earthly ministry, Jesus sent 70 followers out to relay the message of the kingdom of God. And when they returned, they were amazed that even the demons were subject to them through the name of Jesus. Jesus explained he had seen Satan fall from heaven like a bolt of lightning, and that to the faithful, special protections will be given. Jesus then concluded his thoughts by explaining the greater blessing is not in being able to control demons through the name of Jesus, but that one's name is written in heaven Luke 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In his first letter, John wrote about sin and righteousness, showing that people who live a life focused on righteousness are righteous and are of God. And people who live a life focused on sin are sinful and of Satan. John then adds the connection between love for other people as a link to righteousness. He contrasted Cain, who killed his brother Abel, showing how Cain had evil works and Abel had righteous works. Those who hate others have the spirit of murder within them, and murderers do not have eternal life. John then extends the comparison of love for others by showing that we cannot have love for others when we withhold from others in need, when we have the ability to provide for that need, showing that love is not an exercise in words, whether these be words we read in the Bible or say to others. Love is an exercise in what we do. 1 John 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote that we cannot be deceived by others who preach a false Jesus. He explained there is only one Jesus and a single message of faith. As we preserve this word, this understanding of the faith, we overcome Satan. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. With the Ephesians, Paul wrote of the need to put on the whole armor of God, explaining the battles we face are not physical in nature, but spiritual. We fight against spiritual wickedness and must be clothed in the truth. If Paul writes about the truth, it stands to reason there coexists a falsehood, a perversion of the truth. We must wear the truth. Protecting the truth is righteousness, which is founded in love for others. We must know the gospel of peace, the gospel of the kingdom of God, to move us in our spiritual battles. Faith extends beyond us and protects us from Satan's attack, knowing we have hope of salvation as we use the Word of God as a spiritual weapon in our defense. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul explained to Timothy of the need to follow righteousness, faith, love, and peace with all who call on God with a pure heart, avoiding debate on questionable matters. Because we live a life of faith, that means we will not have an answer for every question that may come to mind. When we invent answers to fill the void that should be filled by faith, we create an environment for strife and debate, bring damage to the unity of the faith, establish an environment where another Jesus may be preached, and give room to Satan for evil deceptions. We cannot allow ourselves to be caught in the snare of Satan. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We know there will be a falling away before the return of Jesus Christ when a man of sin will be revealed. This person will appear as holy and righteous as God. Nothing would be further from the truth. This man of sin does the bidding of Satan and even appears to do miracles that upon close examination can be seen to be lies. People who do not know the truth will flock to this person, and God will allow this deception to happen. Imagine if this person causes the imminent threat of physical death to go away. Those who do not know the truth would flock to such a person because all they know and have faith in is the here and now. Those who are of the faith will not love their physical lives to death because we know of the promise of eternal life and the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. When Satan tempted Jesus using subtle words, Satan tried to snuff out the spiritual life of Jesus. In each of the temptations was the underlying theme that God is unfaithful. Contrary to what Satan tried to get Jesus to agree to, God is very faithful. When Satan told Jesus he should command the stones to be made into bread, Satan was alleging that God was unfaithful by not providing for the needs of Jesus. When Satan took Jesus to a very high mountain and offered him all the kingdoms of the earth, Satan was alleging that God was withholding from Jesus what was rightfully due Jesus. When Satan told Jesus to throw himself down from the top of the temple, Satan was alleging that God would be unfaithful in keeping promises made in Scripture. Satan terrorizes all people by driving a wedge between people and their faith and God. Luke 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. The story of Job gives us a look into how Satan accuses the brethren, as it shows how Satan accused Job. We also see how God looked on the righteousness of Job while Satan looked at Job from an evil perspective. God was judging from a perspective of righteousness, and Satan from the perspective of evil. In the story, Satan first takes away all that Job has except his life and wife, and finally strikes Job with a painful disease. Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We'll continue in chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Moving thousands of years later to the Last Supper with the disciples, when Jesus had a heavy heart, knowing his time of death would come soon, the disciples were arguing over who was number one. It was during this time that Jesus pointed out to Peter that Satan wanted Peter's destruction, and also explained that Peter would not be perfect in his loyalty to Jesus. Luke 22, verse 24. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto you, that ye may eat and drink at the table of my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Going back to Job, whom Satan also sought to destroy, in the end, Job endured all things and realized after much suffering that he finally knew God. Prior to this time, Job had known about God, but did not know God. Job 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is thee that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. For the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then he came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintances before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuch. And in all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. God knew that Satan wanted Job's destruction, just like God knows Satan wants all of our destruction. Satan wants us all to spiritually die. God is faithful, who can use any situation, including a desire by Satan to bring us to spiritual death, to instead bring us to eternal life. We know beyond death and the terrors of Satan is the incredible kingdom of God. The letter of Jude, one of the shorter books of the Bible, speaks volumes to us about how to overcome the terrors of Satan. We are reminded of the need to contend for the faith. When necessary, we defend the faith, just like Satan has used deception with Eve and even tried to con Jesus into believing God was unfaithful. We must be aware that some will try to deceive us into believing we can live a life of sin because of the death of Jesus Christ. We know we are not to live a life of sin, but a life of righteousness by showing love to others and helping others in need as we are able to help. These people relate to the world today, not the kingdom of God. They live lives contrary to the Bible, even though their flowing words may seem very godly. They complain publicly and private to excuse their sins, seeking favor from men rather than favor from God. We instead are to live a life of faith, seeking the love of God and mercy of Jesus Christ. Our life of faith will cause us to have compassion on some and to be brutally honest with others. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Behold, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there were certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once know this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily over the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast to charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Satan is the original terrorist who uses acts of terror to separate us from the love of God. We overcome this act of ongoing terrorism because we have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his resurrection to provide mercy for our shortcomings. We have faith and hope of eternal life. We overcome the terrorism of Satan by our understanding of what is written in the Bible. Like Jesus, who withstood the trickery of Satan, we will not allow Satan to deceive us with what is written in the Bible. We also know that our life transcends physical life today. Satan can only win and kill us spiritually if we allow this to happen. Like Jesus, we believe that God will deliver on promises made to us in the Bible. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Day of Atonement. Until then, thank you for joining us today.